Hallelujah. Beautiful, beautiful job. We thank God for Minister Tubbs and how she has worked really hard with the kids. And for every kid that has poured their heart and their soul, they're so beautiful. And I'm so proud of our young people. Amen. Amen. I'm very pleased and thankful to the Lord for them. Amen. When I was a young girl and I got saved around the age of probably around 12. And so the youth is a very tender part of my heart to watch young people love the Lord and begin to really understand him in his glory and his might. I didn't need to be prompted and primed. I needed a Savior. Amen. When I opened up my Bible, all I wanted to know is that King of Glory. And so with our young people, they're very special to my heart. Every age group is very special to my heart. But for them, I want to make sure that they have the right foundation. So when I see the words of the Lord poured into their heart and grafted in their heart, it makes a world of difference to me. I love to see them come up loving the Lord, praising God. I love when I turn on my radio that the kids are, do I need that one? That the kids are, oh, Miss Sheila's going to preach this morning. Glory to God. Oh, I'm okay. Amen. She had the mic. She had the mic this morning. I'll let her rip in here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I thank God for being here. I thank God for every phone call, every text, every card, every well wish of love greeting me for my birthday. It has meant a lot to me. I'm a person that doesn't matter how big or small something is. It's your heart that I'm looking for. So I thank God for your heart that you have expressed your love for me. I thank God for that. My very name means Christmas Day. Latasha means Christmas Day. My mom tells a story about how she and my biological dad had decided to name me Tracy. She said, but at the last minute, she changed my name to Latasha. And he came in the room, hey, Tracy. So she said, her name not Tracy. She had done a switcheroo, but I believe it was a divine intervention of the Lord because I was truly born on purpose to serve the King of Glory. I thank God for 47 years of the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows, but most of all, I thank him for knowing Jesus Christ. I thank God for being in a place in a country where I can know the King of Glory, where I can know the Savior. I can express my love for him. So I want to share with you the gospel this morning. We're going to really go into the Word. I told my husband, I think it was last Sunday, I said, sweetheart, I think I'm going to preach next Sunday. He said, for your birthday? I said, let me rethink that one. I said, no, but I have a word for the house. And I want to bring the word for the house. I believe it's a life-changing word. I'm first partaker of the word, and I know with some of the things that the Lord was sharing with me, it really opened my eyes. And Lord, I pray this morning as I open my mouth that you fill it with your words, God. Your words that make a difference, Father. God, we ask right now that every hear, Father, hear from heaven. Let them not be distracted, but let each person receive what they need, a life-changing word, Father, that they will quickly apply and see demons tremble, that they will see their victory, that they will see the salvation of the Lord. Father, we thank you for this hour of great deliverance, this hour of healing, this hour of your liberating word, God. We thank you for what you're doing right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I thank God for my husband, Pastor Mike, you'll stand. Thank God for you. Just give him a hand clap. He is such an amazing leader in our home and here at this church and all that he does. And one of the things that he does, and my husband never have to worry about what gift I want for any holiday. Single women take tips. Write this down. Don't leave him guessing. Let him know. Hallelujah. I give him a list. You can pick anything you want from this list. Any of it'll surprise me. I do it for my birthday. I do it for Christmas or Mother's Day. He never have to wonder, but everything is, I'm going to be happy about it. And so, and he's really good about that. He'll go through the wish list and he'll get something, a thing or two that I really want. There's a present that comes from him, and then there's a present that comes from the girls. We teach the girls how to be givers. And so he'll take them to the store. And we, just because the weather was so funny this year, I said, well, let's celebrate my birthday early. Let's do it on Wednesday instead of Friday. My birthday was actually September the 14th. And I said, let's do it on Wednesday, and let's have lunch at home while the weather's good, because we might not be able to go out because the weather was so unpredictable. So he said, sure, baby. So he went, he picked up the food, because I homeschooled the girls, so we had to stay in school. So he went and picked up the lunch, and he brought it back to the house, and we celebrated, and they gave me my gifts. I'm going to show you my gifts later. Ladies, you're going to love my gift. Hallelujah. I'll show it to you later, but they gave me my gifts, and I opened my gifts, and I thanked them for my gifts. And then I thought, but they didn't give me a card. Normally, he takes them and they go, the girls, he takes them, the girls pick their cards for me and give me a card. And they didn't give me my card. And I waited till the end of the day and I said, sweetheart, thank you so much for this beautiful day and for my birthday presents. I said, but you forgot the cards. He said, it's not your birthday yet. And I said, okay. And so he was on top of his game. He took the girls to go pick out their cards, and he makes a special birthday breakfast for me every year. He made his birthday breakfast for me on my birthday, and it was so special, and I thank God for it. And one of the cards said, Mom, happy birthday. And this is a summary of what it said. Happy birthday. Enjoy 10 minutes of it, and then make me some breakfast, or make me, you know, some food. And it was so funny. So I had a wonderful day of celebrating. And most of all, the presence of the Lord that's in this place has really topped the weekend off for me. It's been such an incredible presence here this morning. Give the Lord a hand clap. Tissue. It's been an incredible presence. We were invited out on Friday to a night of worship. Thank you, sweetheart. It was a beautiful night of worship, and I really wasn't feeling the best. I was excited that it was my birthday. I was excited that we were going to the night of worship, but I wasn't feeling well in my body. But I had given my word, I had made a commitment, and I was going to press on to this night of worship. And so I started feeling really bad. I started to reach over to Pastor Mike and say, sweetheart, would you please take me to ER? I'm not feeling good at all. But before I got to that place of asking him to take me to the emergency room, there was a young man that stood up during the worship service. And he began to talk about writing a song unto the Lord about writing a song, I Am a Lion. And he began to minister about how lions begin to, when they roar, you can hear a lion 15 miles away. And that started resonating, because y'all know I think I'm a lioness. So that started resonating in my heart. When he said that, I'm like, oh, I can get with that. I can roar. And when he began to talk about the roar of the lion, I something switched on the inside of me, and I began to praise the Lord. I said, Lord, you are my lion. You roar against every attack against me. Father, I thank you that you roar against every sickness that is placed against me. Father, you roar against every incantation that's been spoken against me. Father, you have roared against everything, every onslaught. Father, you are the tribe of Judah. You are the great lion. Father, I thank you. I open my mouth and I roar with you. Soon as I said that, that thing left. Glory to God. I praise the Lord. As soon as that, I begin to worship the King of Glory, and for him roaring against every onslaught, he said, oh, baby, now you got it. I am the one that is roaring for you. I am the great I Am. All of a sudden, stuff started releasing, and I felt so much better. I come by to tell you this morning, the line of Judah is roaring for you. He's fighting for you. You might be too tired to fight anymore. He said, that's all right. I can undergird you. I am the great I Am. I will roar. I am fighting for you. I am the lion and the lamb. I am everything that you need. And I say, yes, Adonai. Yes, my master, I glorify your name and praise you. I want you to turn with me to the text. And I do have a couple of announcements before I actually get into the word of God. I won't keep you here all day long, but I do have a couple of announcements. April, please show that slide. Thank you so much for your patience. I text April at the last minute this morning. This church is more blessed than you can ever think. Someone comes in here, they see, they might maybe count heads, but they don't know how well connected Freedom House is. We are globally connected, not just in this particular region, but throughout the state of Texas, throughout the city of Houston. We are very connected, and we have brothers and sisters that are in the Carolina areas that we are connected with, and we're going to fight with them through their rebuilding of different of their cities. I've been in contact with Apostle Shirley Brown. She lives in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I checked to see how she was doing, and you know what what came out of her mouth? We are well. We are well. We are well. And I said, well, Apostle, is there anything that we can do for you and your ministry? And she said, for the next 30 hours, just pray for our strength for the next 30 hours. We are covenanting in strategic prayer. So that's all she's asked Freedom House to do for that particular region. If you would continue to pray, because the rains are supposed to continue and it's already this flooded in that area. And so they're praying that the levees don't break, that the levees will hold up. So our prayer, so Father, we could decree and declare as a house, Father, that those levees will hold in the name of Jesus. The rain will stop right now in the name of Jesus. The waters will recede right now in the name of Jesus. And we speak speedy recovery in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. So continue to pray for Apostle Shirley Brown and the ministry there in Raleigh and all of North Carolina and the South Carolina, all the areas that have been impacted. The other thing that we will have starting in next month, this is September, in October, every first and third Sunday of the month, we have Minister Evelyn. She will lead in intercessory prayer. We'll start over here in the children's ministry every first and third Sunday of the month from 9 to 10 a.m. And we call it power hour, because how many of you know that the only way you get your power is in the hour of prayer? Amen. When you submit to prayer, God give you a strategy that you can never, ever believe would actually work. Pastor Mike was preaching a couple of Sundays ago a sermon, and he got home. He got revelation for a problem we had in a sermon while he was preaching. He got home. He said, oh, I'm going to use that strategy. We have issues with the tax people. Glory to God. We had issues with them knocking on. Not only they were threatening to take money out of our account. Well, I'm not talking about a dollar or two. They're talking about, yeah, they were messing with the funds. They can't do that, right? Pastor Mike got mad. I hadn't seen him that mad. I think that was one of those moments that the devil had been a mad, he'd have whipped him. And then but the Lord gave strategy and revelation and worship and prayer and in the word of God. And when he got home, he said, I got revelation in the word. And so he said, I'm contacted. I'm going in person. He said, he was going to be like the Shumanite woman. He said, hey, no shame in my game. I'm going to be persistent with this. It was a problem that had been existing, and he had been pushing on it, working on it. So he wasn't being lazy and complacent with something. He had done due diligence, but there was failure in communication in key people, not on his end, but with the key people that were supposed to be involved. But the Lord gave him strategy to say, they will not touch your funds. He went up to the office. The Lord gave him favor of the right people to talk to. He talked to them, and what they did, they reversed what they were going to do, reinstated his tax ID. I think it was, we didn't even know they revoked, they were going to plan on revoking that, correct? Is that what it was? The sales tax. But the Lord gave strategy through the word. Said, Lord, send your strategy. I don't think I have serious people in the house. I need somebody who's in the middle of something that they need strategy. Lord, send your strategy. He is a great strategist. So when the word go forth today, I expect. You want to tell your story? Okay. Because I gave it a remix.
I just want to add a couple things. What made it such an injustice to me is it was unjustifiable. I had I had sent in my return and I had paid my taxes, and they were trying to make me pay twice. And so I said, no, I'm not paying twice. And so I went around the little game here for 6 or 8 months and then finally got direction from the Lord. And in 2 days, it was resolved.
Amen.
Amen. So whether it's your fault or not your fault, if you're dealing with issues, he's the answer. He'll give you strategy.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful, my love. Will you hand me my phone? There's one more announcement. I'm really excited tonight. This morning, I am going to get to the Word. And like I said, I won't be all day, but I do believe that there will be some strategy in the Word of God. There's another thing, a very key event that's coming up, and that's Yom Kippur. Please mark your calendar for September the 18th. It's Yom Kippur. It's a day of repentance. It's a day of fasting. It's a day of atonement. It's really a key. These are considered the high holy days. This is a time that you really want to be quiet before the Lord because you're pressing into your new year. Do you know that according to the Hebraic calendar, the new year has already started? And so what we do now sets the tone of our year. I don't know about you, but I plan on getting all that God has for me in this year. This is 5779 for the Hebraic calendar. And we get a chance to really press into it and to really know that everything that God has for us, we will reap our harvest. There will be no crop failure, that we will get all that we have. And we also can decree and declare that every attack that the enemy has already planned for this year has been exposed by the blood of the Lamb. And we know that God is in control. He's equipped us to soar against every attack. So in for September the 18th, I would like to ask each of you to really consider fasting and praying starting at 6 p.m. That's when the day start for the Jewish. They start the new day, the next day, by 6 p.m. in the afternoon. So September the 18th, if you start your fasting, and Pastor Mike is going to send out a write-up, more information. But I did want to share with that. So 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. the 19th, if you 24-hour fasting and prayer and being before the Lord for your new year, asking the Lord to show you those places that you need to purge. I love Pastor Mike to life, but I'm not going to be looking at his mistakes and his deliverance and his issues, because maybe if I fix mine, come on somebody, his might straighten out. I might be part of the problem. We're in the same house. So what I'm saying is, set your face like flint before the Lord and ask the Lord to show you those areas where you need to change and you need deliverance and you need to come clean before him. Because when you do that, it's going to give you access to things that have been locked. So I have believers in the house. That's going to be a key that's going to flip something, and the accuser of the brethren won't have accusations against you. So in this time, it's very solemn times. Now, I love the Jewish people because they know how to partake. Oh, they some partying people. One party for them might last 7 days. And I love that. But I also love pressing into these high holy days when it's a time of fasting and purging and seeking the will of the Lord for my life and what he has for me. So I pray that you join us in that and look for that email to come pretty soon. And so those are the announcements that I want to make, because I believe as a body of Christ, when we each individually come before the King of Glory, that it begins to change things. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 15, verses 22-28. And I want to read to you, if you would stand in reverence of the Word of God, I'd appreciate it. His sweetheart. Thank you. I'm reading out of a New Living Translation. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She's bothering us with all her begging." Then Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and worshiped him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied, "That's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table." "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. Amen. I started to entitle this text, "There's a Devil in My House." But I heard the Lord says, "Access granted. Worship that shifts the atmosphere." You may be seated in the presence of the King of Glory. There are a couple of points I want to make here today. And if you're a note taker, I want to encourage you to take notes, because I believe that many people are fighting influences that we cannot see. In fact, Ephesians 6 tells us that, about the demonic, the principalities, the powers of things. A couple of months ago, we went on a trip to out of town. We went on a trip, and the Lord gave me a dream. And in this dream, I raced to the door, and when I opened the door, there wasn't anything there. And one of the things that the Lord began to minister to me is, you're fighting things that you cannot see. Sometimes we lose awareness of that. We start fighting people. I'm sure this woman of God thought, "What in the world is wrong with this child?" When she started acting out and started twisting and turning and started talking back and all, whatever she was doing. So I'm just filling in some things that she might have been doing, because the text doesn't extremely exactly say what she was doing. But one thing we do know, that she was a tormented child. And this devil was in this woman's home. But she was desperate enough to go for help. When you read Matthew chapter 15, and before we even get to the story, we see the Messiah that's walking around, and he's ministering as only he can. And we are introduced in the beginning of the chapter with these Pharisees and scribes, and them doing what they know how to do best. Be religious. One point that I want you to take away with you this morning with the scripture is that there's freedom for religious spirits. We need to be free from religious spirits in order to move into the next place that God would have for us. And when we see the Pharisees and the scribes that are walking around and then they come to ask Jesus a key question, and they ask him, "Why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. How dare they go against our traditions?" Have you ever thought about your traditions? What things that you traditionally do that might not necessarily be what God is calling to have done? But these are man-made traditions. I don't know. I can't speak for the audience. But I know for me personally, because I have come from a different background that wasn't necessarily into the move of God, we had a set order, I picked up a lot of tradition, a lot of ways. Sometimes I still catch myself sitting down and I do this, just not even thinking why I'm even doing it. I'm not saying it was a bad thing, okay, but it was a traditional thing for me. Why do we do some of the things we do, and all those things really getting us liberated? And so the Pharisees and the scribes are questioning Jesus about why your disciples doing certain things, and Jesus basically came back and said, "Why do you do what you do? You do what's traditional, But are you doing what God has called you to do? And what Jesus started dealing with was he started asking them questions to reveal the nature of their heart. It's not about a tradition. It's not about a strategy. It's not about a particular system. And it's not what's go into the man that defiles him, but it's what comes out of him. Jesus said, I want to deal with what's inside of you, not the ways of tradition. And the apostles look at Jesus and say, don't you know? You just offended them. And Jesus goes, well, don't you know, I'm not about men. And I'm not trying to offend men. But what I'm trying to do is see what's in the heart of a man. And he began to turn around and teach the people of God about the matters of the heart. Jesus will come and test us sometime about what's really in your heart. I'm so glad you woke up at 5 o'clock a.m. to pray. I'm so glad that you prayed church down. But then in the beginning of the day, you still was just as mad as you were the day before. You still had hate and evilness in your heart, still not getting along with others. What's really in your heart? Are you going through a ritual, or are you really working into the matters of the heart that brings change? That's what Jesus said. I'm more interested in that. Sleep in late. You might not be as grouchy. Don't get into a religious routine. Don't be so pious that you have it all together where you're just walking over the kids that surround you. We had a chance to minister to some kids some years ago, and these kids really weren't in higher priority in the church because, you know, kids don't have money to put in an offering plate. So they weren't top priority in this particular ministry. But the Lord sent us to this particular ministry to minister specifically to the kids. And when we open our mouth and begin to prophesy, Minister Michael, into those kids, like some of those kids, they were rascal. You could tell they were rascal. But when we open our mouths, the Lord gave us to speak redemption into their life, to begin to speak the future into their life, to speak what God said into their life. You could see their little faces just twitch and turn, and they wanted to hear more. What did Jesus say about me? Going against what tradition does, going against religious practices, but moving into what God has said and how he wants to move will begin to break some change and bondages. And so we see this text with the Lord is not worried about the traditions, but he's worried about liberating people. He's worried about the people freedom. He's worried about their happiness. He's worried about them really getting into a place with him. So then Jesus, he goes into really minister to this, and he leaves that place. And now we see, according to the text, that he's into a new region. He's in a new place. And in this particular region, here comes, we're introduced to the Canaanite woman. We see, according to the text, here she comes, and she approaches Jesus, and she's pleading, Lord, have mercy on me, son of David. For my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely. This woman of God who probably didn't really know God in this way, but she heard of a God because she was from a region that served pagan gods. This region was filled with people that they had multiple gods. They were a port city. They had this port city that were wealthy, but they had pagan gods, and they had gods of all kinds. What kind of God? Who is really your God? Who are we really serving? Are we serving the God of Mammon? Are we serving the God of the Porsche? So what kind of car we drive? Are we serving the God, our idol, for some of us, for some of the women who are single, or who my husband's going to be? For those who are married, are you serving your husband as an idol? Or your wife as an idol? Who are you truly? Y'all quiet in here. Y'all looking at me really strange. I'm helping you for that day of repentance. Because, see, what I'm dealing with, I have seen this text. When you have a misplaced God in your life, it opens a door. You invite a devil into your house. Several years ago, I was ministered to. There was a young lady that came for counseling. Actually, we began to minister to her, and it was exposed about her husband. He was out of order and out of alignment. And as we started ministering to her, this demonic presence began to manifest in the middle of praying for her. And as we were praying for her, what came up was her idol worship of her husband. Then what came up, now remember, demons travel in packs. The idol worship of her husband, then the spirit of murder, because she wanted to kill him for what he was doing. Seriously. She bust up his window. She bust his car up. She took out a bat. Her mind was split because she had misplaced something before her God. There's a devil in my house, and I need to get him out. So we see in the text where her coming up to the Savior, this Lord of Lords, because she had heard about this Savior, this Jesus Christ, who did miracles, signs, and wonders, and who had great deliverance. His ministry preceded him, and it went throughout the land. And she said, oh, there's a Savior that's in town, and I need to get to that Savior. I need to be able to get him to just, if he could just pray over my daughter, if he could just utter one word, I believe that the God of David, this David that I heard of, this David, the one who worshiped the King of Glory, this David who said, I hide his word in my heart, this David who danced before the Lord, this David who was a great worshiper, this David that was a ruler, the king who had the hand of God on his side, I believe if I can get to the God of David, that there will be some redemption in my house. This great woman. So she begins to cry out and shifting her allegiance from the many gods in the region to Adonai, the master of all. Adonai, the one who is overruling over all. She recognized Adonai. And then we see in the text where the kids are really praising, right? Amen. We see in the text where and that she decided. I'm sorry, I lost my place. I got so excited here. Adonai. And then it says, but Jesus gave her no reply. Not even a word. Anybody in here ever felt like you're praying, but the ceiling is brass? It seemed like the Lord is just not answering your prayer. What do you do when the Lord is not answering your prayer? Point number two, no, it's just a test. No, it's just a test. We see here in the scripture there are two tests that take place. One, he doesn't answer her. Two, later in the scripture, he offends her. But it's just a test. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 through 18 says, repeat these basic essentials over and over to God's people. Warn them before God against pious nitpicking, which chips away at the faith. It just wears everyone out. Concentrate on doing your best for God. Work you won't be ashamed of. Land on the truth plain and simple. Stay clear of pious talk that is only talk. Words are not mere words, you know. If you're not backed by a godly life, they accumulate a poison in the soul. So Timothy was saying, in other words, to know the word of God. And when you know the word of God, you understand, and in times of testing, you know how to respond during the times of testing. And so this test that came from this woman, when this woman of God reached when the Canaanite reached the Lord, the test came. But I believe, according to the test, I believe she had heard somewhere in the land according to the gospel because he is a king of glory. I believe that she heard if you would just remain steadfast and know who he is. Because his name preceded him, she knew something about his personality. She knew that he would not forsake her. She knew that he would not turn her down. She knew he was a healer. I think she knew him as Jehovah Rapha. She knew that he was Jehovah Gabor, that he was a fighter. She knew the character of God. And so she had studied out who this man was. Have you ever had someone to come to town and you said, who is this person about? You ever done that? Somebody come to town, the preacher, and you say, girl, let's go hear so-and-so approve. Who is that? I never heard about her. You start looking up information on the internet. You want to know who they all about, who they lined up with, or you know, what miracles have they performed. You want to know the lowdown. So this, I believe that she began to really search out, who is this Lord of Lords? And as she began to search, she said, now that is the one. That's the one who could bring deliverance to my house. So when the Lord didn't answer her, and she can overhear the disciples' conversation, well, she's just running after us. She did not let that move her faith. She did not let what people said, even the people that were surrounding, she did not let what people say change how she viewed the King of Glory. She did not let the word, and anyway, I think they thought they were more than who they were, the disciples. And some of us take on some of that same behavior. People who come pressing into the Lord and needing salvation, or they might not respond the way that we like for them to respond to certain things. We begin to think, why is that girl calling me all the time? Why is that man always calling? They just were blowing up my phone, always wanting prayer. Always wanting me to give them a word. They need Jesus. They open your Bible. There's a word. Why at work they always come sitting next to me and wanting my advice? I'm not a counselor. They need to go. They need a counselor. Next time they come to my office, I'm gonna give them a number of a counselor. You know, you have some of these people that constantly are in your face, and you're like, they are a bugaboo. They're constantly bugging me. But you know what? It's not you they're after. It's the Christ that's on the inside of you that they're after. And the disciple, like, she bugging us. Jesus looking at them like they still are clueless. I bet he thought sometime, y'all ever watched the Three Stooges? I bet sometime the Lord, when he saw the disciples, some of the things he did, he saw them as the Stooges. They just still weren't getting it. They were still doing things that were off. They are not after you. They are after something. This woman who's a Canaanite, who's totally different, who's not a Jew, she's after something, and she's not after you. She's after the King of Glory. And he turns and he looks, and he begins to talk to them. And he says, I wasn't sent for necessarily for them. I was sent for the lost sheep of Israel. But I believe when he began to open his mouth and he began to say who he was sent for, I believe the Redeemer in itself couldn't help but be redemption in himself. And when the woman opened her mouth, she said, Lord, help me. The first time she cried. But the second time after this conversation with the disciples, the woman threw herself at the feet of Jesus. And she began to worship. The first time was a cry. The second time she said, the cry is not good enough. I got people in his ear who saying, I'm not worthy of the inheritance. I have people that think I'm misunderstanding what I'm after. I'm not after them. I'm not after their church. I'm not after their prayer. I'm after redemption. I'm after deliverance. I'm after a breakthrough. And since they don't understand, I'm going to throw myself at the King of Glory's feet and worship him. It was that kind of worship that ripped something apart. It was the worship that meant business. It was a cry that says, I might not be deserving of what belongs to Israel. But see, I'm a woman of faith enough to know that I'll take whatever the leftovers is. I'll take the little, God. Even a little, I'll be most grateful. Even just a little, if I could just get a little bit of hope that there's healing here. If I could just get a little bit of hope that my child will be set free. If I could get just a little bit of hope that there's a promotion on the way. If I could just get a little bit of hope that my mind will be set free. If I could get a little bit of hope, God, I'll take whatever I see and worship you right here. It's just a little. I don't have to have the whole thing. I'm so grateful that Israel had their place. I'm grateful about that. But I choose not to be offended by God. Test two, being offended by God. Those are things we really don't want to say that we have been offended by God. And if we be honest with ourselves, not everybody in here has ever felt that way. But I'm sure there's more than one or two people in here. Well, why, God, why didn't you do it? Well, why Camille and Gus, they got things going on over there. And I can't get things over here right. Why? Offended. But don't want to admit, I'm actually offended by God, by something that he has done or not done. I'm offended. But this woman chose not to let herself be offended. She chose to begin just to worship the King of Glory. And one of the things that I pray this morning, that you pass the test of offense. That you pass the test. Lord, why my house had to be the one to flood? Not the question of, Lord, how can I let your glory shine through this? Lord, how can I demonstrate that my faith is in you in this? Father, let me just be the one that shows that you are the King of Glory in this. I take the little and begin to worship you. There's a word that describes the Lord. And I told y'all a couple of Sundays ago that I've been really studying the names of God. And not only studying for myself, but we've been teaching the girls how to recognize the name of God. Because if you know his names, you understand his character. You understand who he is to you. So when testing time comes, you know who to call on. If you need a new kidney, is he not Elohim? Did he not create? Is he not Jehovah Rapha? Is he not the healer? Do you not know how to call on his name? When you need something to happen. And this woman, this Canaanite woman, when Jesus stepped foot there, she's saying, Master. In essence, she was saying, Adonai. And Adonai means master. In other words, I will serve you with all of my being. I totally submit and surrender to Adonai. Because if I do, I know everything will be shifted and changed. The Lord looked at her and he said, Woman, I haven't found faith like yours. It was her faith that began to shift things and unlock things. It was the worship. Pastor Mike been teaching so diligently the last several Sundays on worship, worship, worship. He didn't say just worship when you're happy. Don't just worship when you get a check in the mail. Don't just worship when you get a good doctor's report. Don't just worship when your kids are acting straight. Don't just worship when things seem like to be going well. But worship in the morning. Worship in the evening. Worship at night. Worship, worship, worship. And watch it shift everything around you. And what happened this morning, there was a demonstration of worship. When Pastor Mike said, I want you to see the woman with the issue of blood coming at the hem of the garment, coming down at the feet of Adonai, Master, coming down at his feet. And when we symbolically got up and began to touch the fringes and thinking about the Master being there, I think we say, Lord, I'm releasing my faith into what you're doing. God, I know that if I surrender myself to you, that whatever my issues are, I'm being healed and made whole. And so when we begin to shift into that place, your atmosphere begin to shift. There's no room for the enemy in your home. There's no room for the enemy on your job. You can keep your praise because your praise is what sets you free. You can go into your office praising the Lord for your promotion. You can go into your house praising the Lord for your children's deliverance. You can go into the car praising God for being a protector. You can go into the hospital and say, Lord, I praise you for healing. You can worship and know that your worship says it already sets things in motion, that God is already doing it. He's a God that is moved by our worship. He doesn't care what anybody else around him or you say. He look at you and he say, I have set my hand upon my child. And because my child has chosen to worship me, you get the full inheritance. We get full access to everything. You take the little crumbs, keep on taking the crumbs. You'll have enough of a whole loaf. Keep on taking, just keep on pressing it. Every time you see the little, begin to rejoice and begin to praise him, because the floodgates are opening. Because every time you praise, the floodgates are opening for more to come in. You ever heard of a tsunami? It starts with a shifting of the plates, right? Something begins to shift and something begins to happen. Something begins to change. And when you begin to worship and begin to praise the Lord, something begins to shift and something begins to happen. So that little bit of trickle caused a tsunami of blessings to come overtaking you. Y'all didn't hear that. Miss Marilyn gonna be blessed by herself. She over here receiving a tsunami of blessings. Pastor Mike and I started seeding and doing what the Lord said about the giving, because that's where we put our faith. We're not going to worship mammon more than we do the Lord. We're not going to put more confidence in money. So we started hearing what the Lord was saying and started giving where he said to give. We didn't have anything ourselves. So we started giving. We gave away a truck we needed. We needed that truck. We not just wanted. We needed that truck. But we needed God more than we needed that truck. If you are in a desperate place this morning, it takes desperate measures. And when you get so desperate, you don't care who's around. You don't care how ugly you get in the face. You don't care how ugly anything. When you need a desperate move of God, you will begin just to do all that it takes for your breakthrough. What are you holding on to this morning? Everything you have has been given to you. What are you holding on to so tightly that you can't release to the Master? Are you willing to let that go this morning? I'm not talking about money right now. That's a lesser thing. What are you holding on so much that you have made it Lord over you? The thing that you can release and say, Father, I release that and press into you. We come to a place where we get totally access to God's inheritance. When that woman of God bowed down and she began to pray and she surrendered everything, he said, I give you not only the healing of your daughter, but I give you your heart desire. Did y'all read that last text? He said, I give you your desire. Go back to me with that scripture. Read read it for yourself. It says, in verse 28, 15 and 28, it says, "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great." What you believe it is, what your faith that you have is so great. And you know what? The Lord is not expecting me to use Pastor Mike's faith or Minister Reyes' faith. He's expecting me to use my faith wherever I am in this walk of life. I don't have to compare. They don't have to compare to me, and I don't have to compare to them. But the Bible says he has given to every man a measure of faith. Use what you got. Not even right English. But you got it? Use what you got. King David, he had a rock and a sling. A slingshot. But when he chose to use what he had, it took him into a new place of authority. Now it wasn't just a measure of authority over little things. When he used the little things, it gave him territorial authority. And we are in a place where we need strategically territorial authority over things, because when you open your mouth, the atmosphere shifts. Things change because you, the worshiper on the inside of you, begin to explode, and it influences other lives. So this week, I say that you're going to have more people that's going to come to you. You're going to have more people that's going to be seeking you. Maya, you're going to have friends that's going to come to you wanting to talk to you. The young people back there, you're going to have more. It's not because you're so cool. You are cool. Don't get me wrong. Y'all are cool. But it's the Christ that's on the inside of you that they wanted to get to know. And we have to use our influence to cause atmosphere to shift and to change, where the glory of God is being released. When that woman of God, the Gentile, who had no rights according to man's law, had no rights to the inheritance, said, "But I'll take it," she shifted. Now she and her child had the inheritance. I bet you couldn't hold her still. I bet she ran back to her family and began to show, "Look how she set free. You know, I went to Adonai. I went to that man they called Jesus. I went to him, and he set my house free. Hey, you want to know what he did for me? He set my whole house free." And I bet it began to influence others. I got to know Jesus. At the end of that chapter, we see that total access. Yeah, I want you to flip with me to the end of the chapter. I know I'm preaching, as Apostle Taylor calls it sometimes. But you go to Matthew verse 15, the end of the text, in verse 29 through 31. And it says, "Jesus returned to the Sea of Galilee and climbed a hill and sat down." This is after he set this woman free. "A vast crowd brought to him people who were lame, blind, crippled, those who couldn't speak, and many others. They laid them before Jesus, and he healed them, a few of them." He healed only one. He healed two or three. You mean to tell me every person was healed? What would it be like if everybody around you was healed? What would it be like? You see your demonic, oppressed, drug-infested relative that's been strung out for years, but you bring the influence of the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you, that step in the room, and they get set free because of Jesus on the inside of you. He said, "The things that I have done, you shall do a little bit." Come on, Bible study. I need you to talk back to me. You would do only one thing. You would do greater. So in this, as we're transitioning into this new year, we must see the greater. We must see our children and our children's children, those who are around us, set free.
free with bulldog faith, looking at them and commanding that what the enemy has planned will not be so. But you have the authority. And Jesus said, and when Jesus went to this place, every person was healed. He had no excuses. Jesus didn't say, well, I think God can, but if he doesn't, then I hope you'll be able to walk straight. No, he said, lame, be healed. See. No, there's no, I'm not going to go on a doctor's diagnosis, but I command your eyes to be open. I'm not going to go on your heritage or what your family heritage says or your DNA line. I don't care if there's been crippleness in your family. I say walk. I say rise up. I say you the cancer, you cannot stay. I say hepatitis, you cannot thrive here. He spoke to the thing with authority. He said you have to be healed and delivered and set free. So that tells me, if there's a devil in anybody's house, you're not using your authority. First of all, you call his name. Second of all, you worship. And as you worship, you know that the King of Glory is in your presence, and your atmosphere shifts and change. Amen. Stand to your feet. Amen. So, Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for the power of your word. Every diligent student that's in under the sound of my voice, Father. Every student of your word, Father. I thank you for the activation of your word that's on the inside of them. We will not be like the Pharisees, and we will not be like the scribes, Father, or the hypocrites, Father. But we are the carriers of the gospel, Father. We will walk in the demonstration of your word, Father. I thank you, God, that you've given us an inheritance, Father, that we can fully access the things that you have promised us, Father, that we can fully access peace, that we can fully access deliverance, that we can fully access healing. Father, we thank you that we have the power to put the enemy out of our homes and out of our families and out of our spirit of influence, God. I thank you for the authority that you've given every believer that's on the inside of this place today, God. I thank you right now that the believers will rise in their authority and speak your promises into the atmosphere, God. I thank you, Adonai, Father, that we are ones that know you in your power and in your strength, God, that we're the heirs of salvation, that we're the heirs of your righteousness, God, that we're the heirs of your holiness, Father. I thank you right now, God, that we are hearers and doers of your word, Father. We thank you right now, Lord Jesus, for the deliverance, God, that's coming, Father, through our hands, that we will see the sick heal, God. We will see the lame walk, God. We will see the blind see, God. We will see them begin to see, Father. We thank you for deaf ears opening, Father. We speak right now to poor comprehension, Father. People who have a problem understanding, God, that things will shift right now and that they will receive understanding in the power of the Holy Spirit, God. I thank you, God. We will not speak ADHD on our children. We will not speak ADHD on any family member, God, but we say that they have the mind of Christ, Father. So, God, we thank you right now that things are shifting right now, that the devil, there's no room for the devil in our home, God, but only your glory, your glory, your glory, your glory, your glory, God. We thank you for your glory, God, that's in our homes, Father. We put confusion and strife. We come against it right now. Useless arguments right now in the name of Jesus. We say right now that there's unity in the home. There will not be division in the house. Father, I thank you right now that you're bringing unity in the homes, God, that there will come in one accord and one page right now in the name of Jesus, Father. We thank you, God. We thank you for your mighty hand of work, God, your mighty hand of deliverance, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your glory that's being performed, Father, in the name of Jesus. As we go into this Yom Kippur season, Father, that you will open up the eyes of our heart, Father. That you will show us your glory, Father. We thank you, Father, for this time and this season of restoration, Father. As we repent unto you, Father, that we will go places we have not been before. You know what I see in the spirit? I see that there have been some whose inheritance has not fully been in access because the enemy has been speaking to some of our minds. He's been speaking to our destinies, and some of us have been buying into the destiny. We've gotten so much more conscious about what man is saying and what scientific people are saying more than what God is saying. Father, I ask right now that that's canceled out right now. Those words that we rehearse what people are saying, Father, that we will not live under the words of people, God, but we will hear your words. The scripture that's on the inside of each person here, Father, that it will begin to come up and leap out of their belly. Wells of living water will flow right now, and they will speak into a circumstance, speak into that situation, Father. I thank you right now that no one will look to the left nor to the right, God, but they will look to you, Father, for the answers right now. This time of deliverance, Father, this time of breakthrough, Father, we thank you, God, right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. I thank God for Josh. He gave a sermon the other day at another ministry, and we want to thank God for him for allowing the Lord to use him and delivering a mighty sermon. He sent me a video of it, and I'm so proud of you. May the Lord continue to keep you and use you in a mighty way. I want to challenge each parent in the house before we dismiss. My challenge to you is to teach your children the Word of God. I'm not talking about just picking up the Bible, but I know some of you remember back in the day when we actually had to learn the scriptures. Actually have Bible drills. I want you, my love, you give me some tissue. A scripture a week. Take your kid and give them a scripture a week and have them to learn a text. Amen? Excuse me. The reason why I want to challenge you to do that, because that gives your child the right weapon. That gives us, it will even challenge you to get deeper into the Word. And if we want to go to that next level of worship, there's no better worship than worshiping the Word. He is the Word. And when you begin to really worship like that, revelation upon revelation upon revelation begin to come, and answers and strategies begin to come. Our girls, they don't like walking through the hallway in the dark. They're scared. So we start applying the scripture. And they begin to repeat scriptures about, protect me, O Lord, for you are my refuge. And they said all the way to their bedroom, protect me, oh Lord, for you are my refuge. Baby, keep on saying it. And so they're walking through the hall. Protect me, oh Lord, because you're my refuge. Clicking on lights. Protect me, oh Lord, for you are my refuge. Protect me, oh Lord, for you are my refuge. But they're getting the Word of God. And when you know him like that, you can't help but praise him. When you know him like that, in the time of testing, you say, oh, but protect me, oh God, not government. Oh, protect me, oh God, not my husband or my wife. Oh, protect me, oh God, for you are my refuge. When you begin to worship him like that, and you know the Word, it begins to shift things. You know, somebody put it like this. It's called the mind of Christ. You begin to have the mind of Christ in a matter. So I want to challenge every parent, wherever your child challenges are, find a scripture for your child. I mean, you might have different children with different personalities. You don't have to give just one set scripture for the whole house. You can, if that's easier, start someplace. Start someplace. But give them the Word that will change their lives. Not make them traditions of men or just religious people, but will make them really God-loving people to where they know how to worship the Lord, and there's no room for the enemy. When you have God in your heart, That's why David said, I hide your word. Your word I've hidden in my heart, because if my heart is full of God, something's going to come and tempt me to act up. But when Christ is in my heart, he's going to reel it back in. I might be tempted to not like you, but something about that word that begins to bubble up says, I'm to love those who persecute me. I'm to love those who come against me. Well, that word began to brew, and it put me in a place where the accusation of the enemy cannot stand. And it causes me to be victorious every time. Amen? Amen. So the Lord will bless you and keep you. His face will shine upon you, and he will give you peace. Now greet somebody on the way out. Amen? Amen.